good morning, 11:30 service. Y'all looking good. Y'all looking good this morning. I'm excited. We launch into a new message series today entitled Tales of the Kingdom. And over the next several weeks, we're going to look intently at a few parables and pull out some key insights and figure out how they can apply to our everyday life. Because it's one thing to read the Bible, then it's another thing to read it and go, okay, that'll help me Monday. That'll help me Wednesday. And I believe the parables are just filled, they're chuck filled with life applicable lessons. And we're going to look at one today. But before we get to that, you know, in any organization, any growing organization, there's always people coming in and people coming out. And our church has grown tremendously over the last several years. Our staff has grown tremendously over the last several years. And the way I see it, as a church staff, we always have bus stops. And at the bus stop, we let people off that need to go and do something else. We invite people to come on the bus. And then there's some people on the bus that just move from seat to seat. And from time to time, that happens. And we're in the middle of a very large bus stop as a church. It's a good one, because we're sending out Pastor Spencer and Ellen Beach to pastor a church that's in Huntsville, Alabama, that was planted a little more than 9 years ago. And many of you have been influenced by their ministry and their leadership here. And this morning, I want Pastor Jordan to come up with me, and I'm going to invite the Beaches to come up and their two wonderful children. We're going to pray over them and send them out as an overseer. Pastor Spencer has asked me to be on his board of overseers, and we want to pray over them and bless them indeed as a church. So come on, y'all, put your hands together for the Beaches, Pastor Spencer, Pastor Ellen, Eliana, and little Gabriella. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Come on, stand to your feet and show some love. Woo! Won't you stay standing? And as we pray for them, I want to ask you to agree with me. We believe in biblical presbytery. We believe in laying on of hands. We believe in the power and the authority transference. And I want you to stretch out your hand. If you believe in that, you don't have to, but I want you to stretch out your hand. And when you're doing that, you're saying, Lord, I am just believing that you're going to bless them indeed. Because they have been a tremendous blessing to us the last 6.5 years. And I believe they have so much more to give in their life. So let's go ahead and pray over them right now. Father, we love you and we thank you for Pastor Spencer and Ellen and Eliana and Gabriella. Lord, as we send them out, Lord, I think it's a great day for us. Lord, they have invested their talents here and their gifts here, and they've seen so much growth. We've seen so much growth. And Lord, we are forever indebted to them and their service. But Lord, we know that they're doing it for you. And Lord, that's what we like most about this family. And as we send them to Builders Church, as we invest in them, as we pray for them, Lord, I thank you. They're going to reach people. They're going to reach the lost. They're going to reach the disenchanted. They're going to reach those who are hurting in their marriage or maybe their life. And they're going to be a message of hope because of Jesus Christ is in their life. And Lord, I thank you for such a time as this. With all the years where Ellen was working in Baton Rouge at Bethany and Spencer was a single man on the mission field in India. Lord, all those years of education and learning and discipleship learning, Lord, here at Key Point Church, Lord, it's going to come into play and they are going to be used mightily, Lord. And Lord, I thank you. You're going to bless them indeed. Give them the right friends. Give Eliana a couple of friends, Lord. Give Gabriella some great friends. Let them find that perfect place to eat and shop and do life with, Father God, with people, Lord, that enjoy them and understand them. And Lord, we thank you. The best is yet to come in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of Key Point Church said, amen. Come on, y'all, give it up for them. Love you, man. Love you. Love you, Alan. Love you so much. Oh, thank you, Eliana. I love it. You may be seated. You know, just stay playing. There's always opportunities to teach people about entrance and exit. And I want to take a few moments before I get into the message and say that the Beaches did it right. And I don't believe it just stops with staff, but I believe it transcends to how you enter and exit a church, you know. And people change. Seasons of life change, and that's okay. But Spencer and Ellen, they left the church in Baton Rouge correctly. They were sent out. They didn't leave because they were mad. They felt cheated. They came here and they were a blessing. A couple of years ago, we started praying because I knew one day, Spencer, was the man to finish the service. That's what he explained to me. He said, Pastor Casey, I can't get past this desire to do the altar call every Sunday morning. I said, that's your calling in your life, to be a senior pastor. And we both knew that. So we've prayed about it multiple times. Several doors shut. One church he thought he was going to take over in Mississippi, in southern Mississippi, but the Lord shut the door. Anytime God shuts the door, you don't keep pressing. You just back up and say, all right, God, I trust that you have my best interest. And they did that. Last summer, we thought he was going to plant a church. We looked at several different cities. Nothing really stuck out. It was very, very difficult. And it was like, you know what, just hold up. And this past January, we were fasting for 14 days. And on the 12th day of our fast, I was pulling into the Springdale campus, and I got a phone call from John Siebling, who pastors an amazing church in Memphis, Tennessee. And he's one of the overseers of the church that needed a pastor. And he said, Casey, what's up, man? Hey, let me get to the point. You think Spencer and Ellen can pastor a church? And without even thinking, I said this, yeah, in their sleep. He goes, really? You think they're ready? I said, oh, yeah, they're ready. He goes, what do you think about this? And he told me the church, and I said, man, this may be it. I think within a week, they decided and became the pastors of that church. You know, when it's God, he always opens that door, and you just sense it. And y'all have been a tremendous blessing, and thank you for your faithfulness, and we have learned so much from you, and that is so awesome. You're going to do an amazing job. Come on, give it up to him one more time. Woo! All right. Thank you. All right, let's get into our word this morning. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And here's the title of today's message, Use It or Lose It. Look to the person next to you and say, use it or lose it. Look to the other person and say, you got to risk it to get the biscuit. All right, there you go. Whew, boy, I could eat a butter biscuit right now with a little, anyway. Use it or lose it. Matthew chapter 25, we pick up in verse 14. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version, which is my favorite version that I read through every day in my own personal study. And this is what the scripture says. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted. That's a major word right there. Underline it, bold it, whatever, however you're looking. That's a major word, entrusted. To them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went on a Mediterranean cruise. Come on, somebody. Because obviously he was very wealthy, so he probably just wasn't going back to his little cottage. He was getting in his jet and going somewhere, all right? So we read, hear the master, and anytime you read a parable, it's always a picture of God and his people. Now, in this parable, the master is God, and the 3 men who were entrusted 3 levels of talents represent you and I. Now, a talent was an extremely large sum of money. I know the way I read the story, my first thought was, poor dude that got one, you got ripped off. I bet you felt cheated when everybody was getting all their talents and you only got one. But let me tell you, 1 talent was a large amount of money. A talent is a measurement or a unit of monetary value that was about 20 years' wages of a laborer. Here in America, the average salary of a laborer is around $35,000 a year. Now, you take $35,000 a year times 20, that's almost $750,000. So that day, this guy who only got one, who maybe we would assume didn't get a lot, got almost $1 million, all right? How many of you would love to have someone come up to you and give you 1 bag of gold that was worth about $700,000? Come on, somebody. All right, so he got a lot, all right? Now, more than the monetary value, this is where I'm going to have to ask you to stretch, all right? Because a lot of people think, oh, here we go again, another money talk. No, it has very little to do with money, although it does, all right? And I think this is where a lot of pastors maybe take it and manipulate it. But nonetheless, it also means talent when it comes to your giftings, when it comes to your abilities, your education, your skills, your natural skill sets when you're born, your intellect, your influence. I know a lot of times we don't think that's a talent, but God has given you the influence of those that are in your life, or the opportunities, or even, I know for me, one of the things in my life that I know God has given me is my energy. And this is what Scripture says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, every person is given something. And here's the first point I want to bring to your attention, and they'll have to go back to it, that God has given everyone talents. God has given, everybody say everyone. God has given everyone talents. And that Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, it says this, each person is given something to do. So whatever it is, whatever skill, whatever education, intellectual skill that you have, it has been given to you that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it, and everyone benefits. You may say, oh, no one gave me anything, PZ. In fact, the day God was giving out gifts, he passed over me. I know it for sure. I don't see many gifts in me. And I'm going to tell you, that is a lie. That is not the case. You just haven't discovered yours yet. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit, why people haven't discovered their gift just yet. But the Apostle Paul was trying to get the church in Ephesus to begin to see that each one of them had specific giftings, okay? And he says these words, Christ has generously divided out his gifts. Christ has generously. For me, it could have just been Christ has divided out his gifts. But anytime God does something, it's always more than we could ever imagine. Amen? And it said Christ generously. So not only am I gifted, but I'm gifted with a lot of generosity following that. Amen? He's given everyone generously out his gifts. Okay? Some people are natural at mechanics. You just get math. You get it. Oh, man, you got it. Geometry, A+. Trick, A+. Some of you spent 3 years in Algebra 1, all right? Well, you know what? Your gifting is probably communication or selling ice to an Eskimo or singing. And some of you, we pray, don't sing because that's not your gifting. I had a dear brother try out for one of the bands I was leading several years ago. I was a worship leader, and we'd always have these open auditions. You'd always get these people who obviously thought they can sing and obviously didn't have someone in their life that loved them enough to say, hey, you can't sing, all right? You're not that good, all right? Don't try out, all right? And he was singing up there, yeah! And tenor is a vocal part for most males, okay? And he was singing tenor. And I said, sir, I said, you need to sing tenor. About 10 or 12 miles down the road. All right. I didn't say that, but that's what I wanted to say, you know. Some of us are natural athletes. Some of us can't chew gum and walk at the same time. It's just how God created us. But the point is, everyone gets in on it. Everyone. And everyone benefits. Look to your neighbor and say, you got gifts. Oh, you got gifts. Come on, tell them, you got gifts. You got gifts. But here's the deal. If you don't use your gifts, then I get cheated and they get cheated. And if I don't use all my gifts, then all of y'all get cheated, all right? Look to the person next to you and say, bro, don't you cheat on me, all right? Don't you cheat on me. You better use your gifts. Some of you are thinking, this ain't a marriage conference, all right? What are you talking about, all right? But when everyone uses their gift, the Scripture says everyone benefits. So here's the deal. You're doing one of four. I'm going to get to the fourth one in a moment with your gifts right now. The first one is you've discovered your gifts, and you're using your gifts to the fullest of extent, or at least you're walking towards that. And everyone that is under the influence of your gift is benefiting. Or number two, you haven't discovered your gifts, and because of that, for whatever reason, maybe you've bought into the lie that you aren't gifted. Whatever the reason, maybe someone told you one day you weren't gifted, so you just failed to discover it. Well, because of that, you're being cheated out, and so am I. So when you don't show up and know your gift, we're all cheated, all right? The third one, which is a subject for another day in professional counseling, you have discovered your gifts, and you're using them the incorrect way, and you're manipulating and cheating people and using your gifts wrong, and people are not benefiting from it, they're hurting from it. That's why you can look at someone who's so successful and question, how on earth can they be so successful and make so much money and be so good at what they do, but yet everybody in their life hates them? Why is that? It's because they're using their gifts for their own good, and their gifts aren't benefiting everyone. Their gifts are just benefiting them. Now, this is such the mature crowd. I'm sure there's nobody like that in here, all right? I just talked to a bunch of them in Springdale, all right? But we all have gifts. And the key about a gift is to know that it's a gift. A talent or a spiritual gift, which we all have. And I would encourage you to go through Starting Point. You can go to it today and learn your spiritual gifts. Everybody has a gift, and it's exactly that, a gift. So the day God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in concert came together and created you and put their gifts inside of you, they weren't standing there with a chip reader and a credit card slider and asked you, hey, what is that, debit or credit, or we do take cash? Because if they would have demanded a payment, it wouldn't have been a gift, all right? Everything we have, this morning when I woke up and I hit my alarm clock, my iPhone, and I put my feet in my Crocs, and I went and made me some coffee, and I sat in my Lazy Boy and prayed. I did it all because of the gifts and the influence that God has given me, all right? There's no such thing as a self-made man. Everything you have that has caused you to do everything you're doing now, it is on loan from God. Don't you ever forget that, okay? It is the grace and the mercy of Jesus that I am doing what I get to do today. It is the expression of God's amazing love for you and me. Everyone gets on it, gets in on it. Verse 16, for it will be like a man, he who received the five talents went at once. I love his desire to go and do something. I love it. He was ready. Just give it to him. Come on. I'm ready. Let's go. Got something to do. I'm going to make some money here. Let's go. He goes out at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had the two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. I would suggest that the third guy, although he was thinking he wasn't working, I think he actually worked more by digging a hole in the ground. It was a lot harder, if you ask me. Here's the second takeaway. God only expects faithfulness with your talents. God only expects faithfulness with your talents. And so often we get trapped into this desire or wishing we have what they have. And when we get locked into this wishing that we had the gifts and talents that they have, we get blinded to the gifts that God has actually given us. And this is how it plays out. Oh, look how successful that person is. Look at that girl over there. Look at that guy over there. If I could just have her smarts, if I could just have his looks, if I just had his charisma or his wit or his swag, I'd be able to walk in the boss's office and say, give me the job. Look, I mean, and we fantasize and we imagine that's how it goes. And we get so locked into their gifts and what their gifts are providing for them, we fail to see that God has gifted us. And what we need to do is take that same energy that we're using and locked into coveting their gifts and invest that time and energy in our gifts and watch those things grow and nurture. Amen? Come on, I need a better amen right there. Because that's where some of you are right now. If I could just have that money, or if I could just have that position, or if I could just have that level of education, if I could have just got that score on that test, they'd have picked me. No, you can't have their success and their gifts without the pressure and the pain that it took to get there. Because I'm telling you right now, you look at someone that's successful, and I know a lot of times we think that it was just like a little yellow brick road that they skipped down to get to it. No, you can't have the gift and not take the pressure that comes along with the gift. You can't have the gift and the talent that you're looking at and not take the pain that they went through or the sacrifice that they went through to get it. I believe that one of the main reasons why Christians have not discovered their gifts is because they're locked in on someone else's gifts. Oh, if I could just have that, then I'll get this. And God's saying, no, I want you to do this. This is the gifts I've put in you. Your life will be best lived and most joyful when you are being faithful within the gifts that God has given you. You're simply called to be faithful with your talents. The story goes on in verse 19. The Caribbean cruise ended. He comes back. The master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This is the day. This is a fun day. This is when you've been given responsibility over a project, and it is D-Day. It's time to bring the reports and the project to the table and show everybody what you've been working on. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward. Now, I don't know if this was in an open setting like this. And, all right, where's the guy who gave 5 talents? Come on up and show us what you did with it. Although, I think that would be a great way to do it. You better have yourself in line. I don't know, but let's just assume that that's how it happened. Bringing 5 talents more, he said, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents, and here I have made 5 talents more. And we've all been there before where we feel like, and we know, we hit a home run, and we bring it to our superior and go, you're going to like this one, bud. Really? Yeah. Here's what I have. And then they say these words in verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I'm talking to MC Hammer time, baby. Dabbing. Boom. What? That's what I'm talking about. I told y'all. Probably turning around looking at his critics. Told you. Get you some of that. We've all been there before. We know we did the right thing and did the job right. And they say, well done. And we enter into this joy that, whew, it's amazing. The exhilaration, it's powerful. Verse 22, and he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And you have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I wonder if this guy was watching the whole time, thinking, man, I blew it. He's thinking, all right, what can I say? All right, I got to sweet talk him. I got to butter him up. I mean, because he's a hard guy, and I know where he's soft. And so here he goes. Here's my attempt. He who also received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master. It's like when my daughter wants money. Daddy, you know, I can just hear her in a tone. Daddy, I love you. What you need? Master, you're awesome. Trying to butter him up. No. I know you to be a hard man. You're an awesome leader. You're a great boss. Reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. In other words, he turned it around on him. You're just trying to butter up to me here. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. For me, at least, I didn't go blow it. At least I didn't go out there and buy a whole boatload of cars and boats and a brand new home with it. At least you can pat me on the back and say that. No, 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 no. You wicked and slothful servant. And here's the point I want you to remember. God will one day want an account for your talents. 1 Peter chapter 4 says it this way. Each of you, me, should use whatever gift you have received to do what? To serve others. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards. One day you will have to give an account. Oh, you will. Look the person next to you and say, oh, you will. You will. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But here's the question we got to answer. On that day, what do you want to be labeled as? When it's time for you to settle your accounts with God, and it will happen, do you want to be called a good and faithful servant or a wicked and slothful servant? It's one or the other. And I'm going to tell you right now, that rings loudly in my spirit. That rings loudly in my mind every day. In fact, it is the motivation that keeps me moving past my critics. It's the motivation of me moving past my own failures. It motivates me to move past all those inabilities that I know I have, to look past my problems and failures. Because one day when I kick it, and I will, you'll be standing on the graveside. Oh, PC. Woo, nice casket. Oh, PC. Yeah, he crazy Cajun. PC. May kick a little dirt on it. Hey, PC. But at that moment, I'm going to be standing in front of God, and I'm going to have a two-question test. At that moment, I had better been a faithful steward to the very thing that God entrusted in me. He's going to ask me, number one, how did you do with my son? That's salvation, first and foremost. Was he the Lord of your life? Because remember, if he's not the Lord of your life, he's not Lord at all. Then if I pass that test, I'm going to go to the second test. And he's going to ask me, how did you do with the gifts, the talents, the influence, the energy that I gave you? And my prayer every day is that the Holy Spirit keeps me sensitive and willing to serve within the gifts that he gave me. Because one day, he's going to come back to me and settle the account. Now, unfortunately, even numbers prove this. Most people wind up as the third servant. When it comes to giftings and talents in advancing the kingdom of God, in fact, the studies show that only 20% of the people that attend church do 80% of the work, which means that there's only 20% of the people that have using their gifts. And this is the fourth area where a lot of people stand. And it's the exact response of this servant, the third, who said, I was afraid, I discovered my talents, but I went and hid them. I just couldn't do it anymore. The greatest mistake you can make in life is to continually fear that you will make one. Somebody in this room right here needs to make a major decision in your life about what step to take. And you are ridden with fear. Now, the assumption here is that this man wasn't good enough. The assumption of this third servant was that this man didn't know how to invest. Maybe the assumption was that he just didn't care. And I used to think that, that's why that person's not persevering. That's why that family left the church, because they just don't care. That's why that person gave up on God or gave up on their dreams, because they just don't care. You know, they don't care anymore. And I found that not to be the truth. And the truth is it's not that I don't care. It's just that I have a fear that if I get out there and I give it my all, that I'll realize that my all is not good enough. And I'll risk it and I'll fail. See, the deal is, I do care. See, the deal is, we all care. We all care about what people think about us. We all care about our how we handle ourselves, and we all care. It's not that I don't care, it's just that I know I'm not good enough for that. And I don't want to be humiliated. It's not that I don't care, it's just that the last time I did care, I got hurt. It's not that I don't care. I want to love, because the last time I did love, that person took my love and used it and leveraged it against me. I do care. It's just that this risk potentially can set me up for a lot of failure. And like the third servant, it said he was called slothful. That word in the Greek, it doesn't mean lazy, like I'm laying on the couch all day and I'm just refusing to do any work. That's what laziness is. The word slothful in the Greek, it means to be inactive. Like, I went to step, but something happened, some fear gripped me, and I just stopped. Nope, done. The risk is too big. I could be humiliated. I could be humiliated in front of people, and nope, not doing it. I get hurt. And I understand that. That's logical to think because, you know, there's no guarantees if I risk it. There's no guarantees if I invest my talent. You know, this church, I could give it my all in 2017 and be the best leader and do the best that I can, and still this church may not grow in 2017. It's not a guarantee. But at least I'm here. At least I'm walking. At least my wife still loves me. At least my kids still love me and still love the church and respect me as their father and respect their mother and respect me as the husband of their mom. Here's what I've decided. I've decided that the pain of falling short is nothing compared to the shame of stopping short. So what if I give it my all? What if I go all out and I give it my all only to find out that it wasn't enough? I'd rather live my life like that than to always live my life with what if. What if? So I've decided I'm going to throw myself at every lesson, every teaching. I'm going to throw myself at this church. I'm going to throw myself and I'm going to lead and do the best that I can. I would rather invest my talents than live a life of regrets and come up short. And when I walk off this stage, I know I'm going to give it my all. And if my all wasn't good enough, then so be it. Because tonight when I lay my head on my pillow, I'll be able to tell God, God, I gave it my all. I did, and I left it on the field. And I can say, God, if you would have wanted me to be funnier, if you'd have wanted me to be more insightful, if you'd have wanted me to be a better communicator, then you would have given me different genetics. So God, here's my 5 talents. What you gonna do with it? God, here's my 2 talents. What are you gonna do with it? Here's my 1 talent. What you gonna do with it? God, here it is. What are you gonna do with it? If God would have wanted me to have more talents, then he would have given me more talents. He would have. For me, at least I'm trying. At least I'm trying. There's no shame in that. There's no shame in failing if you're giving it your all. There's no shame in that at all. But stopping short, that's a different thing altogether. I don't want to stop short because there is a life long pain of regret if you stop short. Stopping short. Failure hurts for a minute, but regret stays with you a lifetime. In Matthew chapter 25 and 28, as the story closes out, it says, so take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from that one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that worthless servant into the outer darkness. No one wants to be cast out to the darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, it's eternal separation from God. In effect, what God is saying to us is if you don't use it, you will lose it. Now the good news is that the grace of God is here. The mercy of God is here and is available for you, and you can start investing today. That's good news for me because there's some talents in my life that I've missed opportunities to invest, and the Holy Spirit's given me another chance, and I'm going to invest them. Be back here with me this afternoon as we close. No one looking around. Here's the question. How are you doing with his son? How are you doing with his talents? How are you doing? And if you're frustrated more than ever before, you're trying harder than you've ever tried before, that might be a good indication that you're not sharing in your master's joy. That maybe you're trying to use the wrong gift, that maybe you've discovered your gift, but you're using it the wrong way. Or maybe you simply just need to be faithful with the gifts you know that God has given you. So here's the first one. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in here today and you say, Pastor Casey, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I do. I need to call on Jesus Christ and say, you are my Lord. It's the first question you're going to get. How faithful were you with my son? And if he's not in your life, then he's not in your life at all. And I today want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Here's what I want to do. I want us to pray out loud. Everybody in this room, I want you to pray with me out loud. Everybody in this room, say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus Christ, I repent of my sin, and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Come on, tell him, Jesus, be my Lord. You are my number one. Thank you for saving me. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed right now. If you feel this is your response and you prayed that prayer and you meant it right now, I'm not going to make you get out of your seat, but I want you to, with a raising of your hand, to show me what has just taken place inside of you. Come on, around the room, raise your hand. Come on. I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Yeah, thank you. Just raise your hand up. Thank you, sir, all the way in the back. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, young man. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, here's the second response. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Here's the second response. I need to be faithful with my gifts. I know what they are, and I need to be faithful, and I need to receive God's grace and mercy today, and I'm thankful that he still has this gift for me. It's not over till it's over, baby, all right? You're not too late for the party. Your party is just starting, all right? Raise your hand right now as we pray. Just lift up your hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign of saying, God, I need you. Come on. Around the room. No one's looking. This is between you and God. Lord, we lift our hands up. My hands are raised, God, because there's missed opportunities in my past. There's failures, there's doubts, there's inactions because of fear. What if I get humiliated? What if I stick my neck out and risk it and nothing happens? Well, then I'm just going to find it a safe place. Lord, I don't want to live my life like that. I want to be one that gives it my all. I leave it all out on the field every day, every day. And Lord, when I am not good enough, which in most times I'm not, Lord, I know you're going to take me and throw me over. Because my weakness is, Lord, in my weakness, your strength is perfected. Lord, I pray you strengthen us all today. Encourage us all today. Lord, let us pick up our gifts once again. If it's singing, if it's accounting, if it's teaching, if it's loving, if it's caring, if it's leading a group and helping, whatever it is, Father, there's so many gifts, Lord, that we need. Lord, I don't want the people of Key Point Church to be cheated. I want us to walk in that fullness of joy every day. And Lord, I thank you for giving us so many different gifts. And Lord, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Key Point Church, put your hands together this afternoon for Jesus. Come on, like you mean it. Woo! Yeah, all right, stand to your feet. Many people raised their hand and said that you prayed that prayer with me and you really felt like God did something in your heart. Let me know about it. Take that conversation card that's right there in the seat back in front of you and fill it out. Take a few moments. This is what happened. I feel like I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. That's the first step. Now we have a lifelong time, a journey to help you become better at number two, making sure you are a faithful steward, all right? And I have found that when you invite a life-giving local church into that process, it helps tremendously, all right? So fill that conversation card out. Drop it in one of the gray boxes this morning as you go, or bring it to guest services. Our pastors will be out there, some of our leaders. Start a conversation with us today. Or you may want to go straight to Starting Point right here after service. It's going to be in this room. It's a four-week class, and you can start at any time. Just get information about the church and take one Sunday they take the gift test and they have all these amazing things to help you discover your gifts and talents and so forth. Look, we want to help you, okay? Everyone gets in on it and we all want to benefit. We all want to benefit, all right? We love you. Have a fantastic week. Have a fantastic afternoon. And oh, by the way, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're having a beach party for the beaches right here at 6 o'clock. If they've been influential in your life and you want to come and send them off and give them some money or what, go for it, all right? Come and show them some love. We'll be here at 6. It's going to be awesome. Have a fantastic week, and never forget that Jesus is the key and people are the point. We love you.